Imagine walking into this newly built, just multi-million dollar manufacturing facility. Yeah, the robotics on the floor, totally flawless. The predictive software is, well, it's cutting edge.
Right, it looks like a sci-fi movie.
Exactly. It's like stepping into the future. But then suddenly, the entire assembly line just grinds to this devastating halt.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And there's this major international safety inspector just standing there with a clipboard, basically threatening to shut the whole building down. And it's all because an electrical engineer chose the wrong piece of gray plastic to hold some wires.
Which sounds crazy, but it happens.
It really does. So welcome to today's deep dive. We are taking a really hard look at the hidden infrastructure of industrial control panels, specifically this incredibly high-stakes world of wiring duct types.
Yeah, it's a topic that definitely flies under the radar for a lot of people.
For sure. I mean, to the uninitiated, cable management just sounds like this mundane, purely aesthetic chore,
Yeah.
right? You think of, I don't know, zip tying that mess of cables behind your TV.
Right, just hiding the mess.
Yeah. But in an industrial setting, getting this wrong leads to like catastrophic equipment failure. Okay, let's unpack this. Because to look at a simple plastic tray and realize it holds the fate of an entire factory floor is, I mean, it's a wild shift in perspective.
It is a massive shift, yeah. And you really have to look at how a factory fundamentally operates to even, begin to understand it. Like,
Right.
an industrial control panel is essentially the brain of any automated operation. It houses the logic processors, the power distribution blocks, the motor
Oh, they're
commands.
very thinking.
Exactly, all of it. And if that panel is the brain, the wiring ducts are the nervous system.
I like that.
Yeah, because their sole job is to route every single microscopic data signal and every massive surge of raw power exactly where it needs to go.
And if it doesn't.
Well, if that nervous system is compromised in literally any way, the brain just cannot function.
Yeah.
And your cutting-edge factory becomes a very expensive, very quiet warehouse.
Wow. And when you look at the engineering consensus on this, diving into our sources, it becomes incredibly clear that this is about so much more than just making a cabinet look tidy.
Oh, definitely. Aesthetics are the least of their worries.
Right. So before we dive into the specific tools engineers use, we really have to establish the stakes for you. The wrong choice of wiring duct, it doesn't just look bad, it creates these compounding operational problems over the entire lifetime of the equipment.
It's a domino effect.
Totally. We are talking about severe heat buildup because there's like zero airflow. Wire insulation just degrading over time.
Yeah, getting brittle.
Exactly.
Huh.
And a maintenance setup that is so cumbersome that, a technician at 2 in the morning can't actually troubleshoot a broken relay without tearing the whole cabinet apart.
Which is exactly what catches the eye of the authorities, by the way.
Right, the inspectors.
Yeah. When you look at the data surrounding failed UL508A and IEC 61439 compliance inspections, and for context, those are the absolute gold standard safety codes for industrial panels globally.
A big ones.
The huge ones. A shocking number of those failures frequently trace back to seemingly minor wire management decisions made during the very first layout phase.
It's crazy.
It is. The inspector opens the door, takes one look at how the wires are housed, and literally fails the panel before even testing a single circuit.
It's exactly like terrible city planning.
Oh, that's a good way to put it. Yep.
Like, if you lay out this massive metropolis and you make the surface streets way too narrow, or you just completely forget to build enough highway exits, you get traffic jams.
Right.
Accident.
Total gridlock.
Exactly. The city can't function because the infrastructure is basically strangling it. But I do want to push back on the severity of this for just a second.
Okay, sure.
Because I think a lot of people are wondering, can choosing the wrong plastic channel really cause a multi-$1,000 panel to fail a major international safety inspection like UL508A?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, it is just plastic holding copper wires, right?
Right. And that is actually the most common misconception. What's fascinating here is understanding what those inspectors are actually looking for when they open that door.
Okay, what are they looking for?
Well, they aren't just checking to see if a circuit breaker trips when it's supposed to. They are evaluating physical integrity and, really importantly, thermal risks over an anticipated 20 to 30 year lifespan.
30 years. Wow.
Yeah, these things have to last. And the duct dictates how those wires survive their microenvironment inside the box. Think about it. Electrical current generates heat.
basic physics, sure.
Exactly. So if a duct prevents that heat from escaping, the ambient temperature inside that plastic channel just skyrockets.
So it's basically baking the wires.
Literally baking them. The PVC insulation on the wires degrades, it gets brittle, and eventually it cracks.
Oh, no.
And the moment bare copper touches a metal enclosure, yeah, you have a catastrophic short circuit, a potential fire, and an immediate lethal hazard to the operator. So the inspectors know that the duct choice is a primary indicator of thermal management. It's the very first domino.
Okay, so the duct isn't just a holder. It's the armor and the ventilation system functioning all at once.
Beautifully said, yes.
And if heat is the ultimate enemy, how do engineers actually route wires in panels that, you know, generate massive thermal loads or operate in just terrible environments?
Yeah.
Because they can't just leave them exposed.
No, definitely not.
Which brings us to the first type of duct used in the industry. And I think it's best to start with the most extreme protection option to understand why it actually isn't the standard for everything.
Right.
So we're looking at solid wall wiring duct.
Yeah. The solid wall duct is, well, it's exactly what it sounds like. It completely encloses the wire bundle with absolutely no side openings.
Just a smooth tube, basically.
Pretty much. The walls are smooth, solid plastic. Wires can only enter or exit the run by coming out of the open top before you snap the rigid cover on, or through custom circular cutouts that the installer actually has to drill manually.
Oh, that sounds tedious.
It is, but it provides the strongest physical barrier of any standard ducting category.
It's like the bank vault of wiring ducts. Mm. Incredibly secure, completely sealed off.
Exactly.
And from our sources, this is heavily used in places like food processing plants, woodworking shops, metalworking facilities.
Yep, anywhere with nasty stuff in the air.
Right. Basically, if you are in an environment where the air is just full of flour dust or fine sawdust or conductive metal shaving stuff,
yeah,
you absolutely do not want getting into your delicate nervous system. You build a vault.
You have to. It even helps reduce electromagnetic interference, or EMI, between parallel wire runs because it creates such a distinct physical boundary.
And it provides this beautiful, clean, professional appearance.
It looks great.
Which, you know, leads me to wonder, if you're building a control panel and solid wall duct is so amazing at blocking dust and provides such incredible physical protection, why wouldn't an engineer just use it everywhere to be totally safe?
It's the logical next question. I mean, if armor is good, more armor must be better, right?
That's what you'd think.
But that brings us right back to the fatal flaw of the solid wall duct, which is heat dissipation.
Ah, the oven effect.
Precisely. When you build a sealed bank vault around hundreds of current-carrying wires, you trap all the heat those wires generate. In thermally demanding panels, that trapped heat creates a localized oven. It literally cooks the wires.
Yikes.
And beyond the thermal danger, think about the inflexibility.
Because there are no pre-made holes.
Right. Because there are no side slots, adding a new sensor wire a year later is highly disruptive. You have to take all the covers off, pull the new wire all the way down the main trunk, and then figure out how to get it out to the new component without pre-existing exit points.
You have to drill a new hole with all the live stuff right there.
Exactly, which is a nightmare. It's just far too restrictive for general factory automation.
Which perfectly transitions us into the industry default, the filing cabinet to our bank vault, which is narrow slot wiring duct.
The workhorse.
Yeah. When you look at standard industry practices, this is the default choice for the vast majority of control panel builds. You'll see this in standard indoor PLC enclosures. And for you listening, those are the programmable logic controllers, basically the actual computers running the machines.
Right.
You see it there, as well as in motor control centers and relay cabinets. So instead of solid walls, this duct features evenly spaced, narrow rectangular slots running all the way down both sides.
And the geometry of those slots is very deliberate. It's not random.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The slot widths typically range from 3 millimeters to 6 millimeters. That dimension is engineered specifically because it's wide enough for standard individual control conductors, typically your 0.5 to 4 millimeter squared wires, to slide through effortlessly.
Okay, makes sense.
But at the same time, the slot is narrow enough to keep the loose bundles neatly contained inside the main channel without sagging or, you know, spilling out into the cabinet.
So it really is like a well-organized filing cabinet.
Yeah.
It's standard, easily accessible, and incredibly flexible. The installer doesn't have to pre-plan every single drill hole.
Exactly. No drilling required.
You just lay the wire down the main trunk and pop it out the side slot exactly where it needs to connect. Usually that's right next to a Dion rail, which is that standard metal bracket inside the cabinet that holds the actual circuit breakers, relays, and terminal blocks.
Yeah.
You just route the wire through the fingers and terminate it. Easy.
And returning to that massive thermal issue we discussed with the solid wall duct, those 3 to 6 millimeter slots act as ventilation grates.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they allow modest, constant airflow through the wire bundle. Convection can actually pull the warm air out of the duct naturally. So narrow slot perfectly balances moderate physical protection from accidental human contact with essential thermal management.
It's a great compromise.
It is. Plus, if a technician needs to modify the panel during a revision, they just route a new conductor through the nearest available slot. It doesn't disrupt the surrounding layout at all.
Okay, so narrow slot is the Goldilocks standard for most indoor panels. It breathes well enough, it protects well enough.
Right.
But what happens when standard just isn't enough?
Yeah.
That takes us to the heavyweights. The scenarios where your cables get massive, the electrical current is huge, and the temperatures absolutely skyrocket.
Yeah, this is a whole different ballgame.
We are talking about wide slot wiring duct, which you'll often hear referred to on the floor as finger duct or comb duct.
With wide slot duct, the open slots are significantly larger. We're talking ranging from 10 millimeters all the way up to 25 millimeters wide.
Wow, so almost an inch wide.
Exactly. And this is engineered specifically to handle high-density wiring and large-gauge power cables, meaning conductors that are 6 millimeters squared and above.
Okay.
When you are dealing with copper cables that thick, they are extremely rigid. They behave more like metal pipes than flexible strings.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. You can't just bend them easily.
No, you really can't. You cannot force them to bend sharply without causing severe mechanical stress on the copper conductor inside, which can lead to microfractures and eventually arcing at the terminal block. Which is bad news.
And it completely changes the visual of the cabinet. Here's where it gets really interesting, at least to me.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, when you look at this cone duct, it's got these huge gaping slots and just thin little plastic fingers holding the wires in. And what's fascinating to me is how this specific design completely flips the priority of the engineer.
How so?
Well, with the solid wall vault, the priority was clearly protecting the wire from outside debris, right?
Right.
But with this comb duct, the priority shifts entirely to protecting the wire from its own generated heat.
That is a fantastic way to frame it, really, because the biggest enemy in something like a variable frequency drive panel, a VFD, which is a device that controls the speed of heavy industrial motors by rapidly switching power on and off, isn't dust.
It's heat.
It's heat. That high frequency switching generates massive thermal loads. The wide slot duct allows for exceptional, unimpeded airflow right through the cable bundle.
So it's basically an open highway for air.
Exactly. It also accommodates heavy-duty cable ties. You can pass thick zip ties right through the wall openings to secure those heavy power cables, which is critical because massive surges of current can actually cause cables to physically twitch or move due to magnetic forces.
Wait, what? I didn't even think about the cables moving.
Oh, yeah, they'll jump if they aren't tied down.
That's wild. And I imagine from an installation perspective, assembly speed is massively improved here, too.
Mm-hmm.
You're just laying these huge, rigid, thick cables in the tray and letting them easily branch out without fighting to thread them through tiny 4 millimeter gaps.
Assembly speed is definitely a major benefit, which production managers absolutely love. But you have to respect the underlying trade-off. Because the slots are so wide, this duct offers extremely low protection from airborne debris. You should never, ever use wide slot duct in a dirty, wet, or contaminated environment without adding significant external physical guarding around the entire panel enclosure itself.
Because it's so open.
Exactly. You are deliberately trading physical protection for thermal survival.
Okay, so we have our three distinct tools. The solid wall bank vault for protection, the narrow slot filing cabinet for everyday flexibility, and the wide slot comb for heavy-duty heat and power.
That's the toolkit.
Right. Now that you understand the pieces on the board, how does an electrical engineer actually act as the master architect and choose between them when sitting down to design a real-world panel?
Well, the industry relies on a very structured 4-step decision framework to avoid those catastrophic failures we talked about earlier.
Okay, lay it on me.
Step 1, assess the macro operating environment. Is this panel going into a sterile semiconductor clean room, a standard automotive factory floor, or a filthy pulp and paper mill?
Right, because that immediately rules certain ducts in or out.
Exactly. Step 2, identify your wire gauges. As we mentioned, if you are running massive power wires above 4 millimeters squared, physics basically forces you toward wide slot duct to prevent that dangerous bending stress.
Got it. And step 3, you estimate your wire density and your exit frequency. if you have tons of tiny control wires branching off to 50 different sensors, you absolutely need the slotted ducts to stay organized.
Yes, definitely.
But if it's just a few massive runs from a main breaker to a single endpoint, solid wall might actually work perfectly.
Right. And step four, the big one, consider the thermal load. High heat means you need wide slots for convection airflow.
This is a balancing act.
Exactly. And when you run a complex factory system through those four steps, it leads to the most important architectural revelation in control panel design. The best solution is almost never just one type of duct.
Yes, the layered approach.
That's it.
A single, well-designed enclosure optimizes its performance by mixing them based on localized zones. You use narrow slot for your intricate low-voltage control wiring at the top. You use wide slot for your massive hot power cables at the bottom, and you might cap off a specific, sensitive section of the cabinet with solid wall duct.
Perfect layout.
It's like imagine you are dressing in layers for a rigorous mountain hike. You don't just put on one massive rubber parka, and you don't just wear a thin cotton t-shirt.
No, you'd be miserable.
Right. You mix materials based on what different parts of your body need to do. You want a moisture-wicking base layer for sweat, an insulated fleece for warmth, and a windproof shell on top. The control panel needs the exact same localized task-specific zoning.
If we connect this to the bigger picture of international safety standards, this layered hybrid approach is exactly what aligns best with the stringent design expectations of IEC 61439 and UL 508A.
The inspectors love this.
Oh, they love it. When an inspector opens a panel door and sees wide duct managing the hot power lines, narrow duct organizing the delicate controls, and solid wall protecting a vulnerable communication module, they see an engineer who anticipated the lifetime physics of that system.
It shows care.
Yeah, it ensures safety and efficiency without forcing a compromise on either end.
But, and this is a massive, but even the most beautifully designed, brilliantly layered hybrid layout will completely fail if the physical installation on the factory floor is botched.
Oh, absolutely.
The blueprint means nothing if the execution is sloppy.
Yet human error is a huge factor.
Which brings us to the hands-on best practices, the pro tips for panel survival that actively prevent long-term degradation. And the very first one is something that causes endless arguments, apparently. The fill ratio.
The classic debate.
The strict industry guidance dictates you should target a maximum fill of 50 to 60% of the duct's cross-sectional area.
Yes, the 50 to 60% rule. It is sacred in panel building. Exceeding this fill ratio restricts that essential airflow through the bundle, and as we've established, trapped heat causes the wire insulation to wear down prematurely.
Now, so what does this all mean? I have to stop you here because we need to talk about the economics of this. You are telling me that the official guidance is to leave nearly half of the plastic channel completely empty.
Yep.
Half empty.
Imagine a purchasing manager or a budget-conscious builder looking at a spreadsheet. Cabinet real estate is incredibly expensive. Why in the world would a company buy a massive 2-inch duct if they're only allowed to fill 1 inch of it? It sounds like buying a 4-bedroom house and permanently locking two of the doors.
I know. It's a fight engineers have with procurement teams all the time. The procurement team sees empty space as wasted money. But this raises an important question about value. The engineering defense for the 50 to 60% rule is deeply rooted in the long-term return on investment and practical physics.
Okay, defend it. First, the empty space is not unused. It is actively functioning as a thermal airway. The air inside that empty half is circulating, allowing the heat to escape and preventing the entire system from melting down.
Okay, airway. I'll buy that.
Second, it accounts for the inevitable reality of industrial environments, future additions. Over a 20-year lifespan, a factory will expand. Technicians will need to add new optical sensors, new safety relays, new network control.
Things always get added.
Always. If the duct is packed to 100% capacity on day one, adding one single tiny wire 5 years later requires a technician to rip out and physically replace the entire duct system.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That takes the machine offline, and factory downtime can cost thousands of dollars per minute.
Okay, that makes total sense. You are wasting space, you're buying breathing room, and future-proofing the machine. All right, another absolute non-negotiable rule is separation. Our sources emphasize you must never route line voltage. So, the heavy, raw 480-volt alternating current power and delicate 24-volt direct current signal wiring in the exact same duct run. It creates electromagnetic interference.
Right, this is pure physics, going back to Faraday's law of induction.
Okay, boy, physics class.
Don't worry, it's simple. Whenever current flows through a wire, it creates a magnetic field around it. A massive 480-volt AC power cable pulses a huge, constantly changing magnetic field.
Like it's broadcasting.
Exactly. And if a delicate 24-volt data wire is lying right next to it, that magnetic field actually induces phantom voltages inside the data wire.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, the massive power cables essentially yell so loud electromagnetically that the delicate signal wires get completely scrambled. The brain of the machine starts receiving garbage data.
That's terrifying.
Plus, it flat out violates voltage class separation rules, which is a critical safety issue.
Because if they touch...
Right. If the insulation ever rubbed off the high voltage line and it touched the low voltage control line, it would send 480 volts straight into sensitive microprocessors, instantly destroying them. You have to plan separate, parallel runs from the very beginning.
And speaking of insulation rubbing off, this next pro tip is fascinating because it's so incredibly analog in a high-tech world.
Oh, the cutting tool.
Yes. When the installer is cutting the plastic duct to fit the cabinet, they must use a fine-tooth hacksaw or a dedicated precision cutter to get a perfectly clean cut. But I mean, if someone is rushing on a Friday afternoon and just hacks at it with a cheap lathe, leaving rough, jagged plastic edges, what actually happens?
It creates a slow-motion disaster.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Factories are not static environments. They are violently dynamic. Heavy machinery like stamping presses or industrial centrifuges vibrate constantly. That vibration travels through the concrete floor, into the metal cabinet, and right into those plastic ducts.
So everything is buzzing.
Exactly. If a wire is resting tightly against a jagged, freshly cut plastic edge, that microvibration will cause the plastic to act like a serrated knife.
No way.
It will. It slowly saws through the wire's PVC insulation over months or years. Eventually, it cuts all the way down to the bare copper. The copper touches the grounded metal frame. You get a massive short circuit, the main breaker trips, and the machine goes down.
Unbelievable.
A simple clean cut on day one prevents an abrasive failure on day 1,000.
It's incredible to think about the butterfly effect here. How a slightly jagged cut from a tired installer rushing their job causes a multi-million-dollar factory shutdown 3 years later.
It happens all the time.
Crazy. And the final crucial tip for panel survival is all about planning for the future technician. This means labeling ducts during the planning phase, not trying to awkwardly slap stickers on the back of them once they are crowded with wires. But more importantly, it means leaving what engineers call service loops.
Right. A service loop is elegantly simple. It just means leaving a few inches of extra slack at the point where the wire terminates into the component, usually just coiled neatly.
Right, which seems trivial, almost like a waste of copper.
It does seem that way. But imagine a technician needs to cut the end of a wire to replace a corroded connector 3 years down the line. If there is no slack, the wire is now instantly too short to reach the terminal block.
Oh, man.
Yeah. To fix it, they have to pull an entirely new cable all the way through the ducting system. That tiny upfront investment in a service loop saves hours of grueling, frustrating maintenance time later.
It's professional empathy, really. You are designing the physical system to be kind to the person who has to fix it at 3 a.m. 5 years from now.
Exactly.
Well, let's recap this journey we've been on. We started with the realization that these seemingly boring plastic channels are actually the critical nervous system of an industrial operation.
Crucial components.
We looked at the fortress-like solid wall duct, which is absolutely perfect for keeping flour and sawdust out, but terrible at managing heat. We moved to the highly versatile narrow slot, you know, the filing cabinet that handles the vast majority of our everyday indoor routing and logic wires.
Oh, default.
Right. Then we brought in the heavy-duty wide-slot comb duct for those massive heat-generating power cables that just refuse to bend. And we discovered that the real magic, the master architecture, happens when you mix them properly based on the environment and install them with extreme care, respecting the 50% fill limits to let them breathe, separating your voltages to stop electromagnetic interference, and of course, making sure you use a fine-tooth hacksaw.
Yeah, it truly is a hidden infrastructure. Every single automated action, every robotic movement in an industrial control panel relies entirely on the microenvironment created by those plastic ducts.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The next time you look inside an open industrial machine, or hey, even if you were just organizing your own home server rack or wiring up a home theater setup, you're going to see the hidden logic in how those wires are routed.
You'll see it everywhere.
You will. You'll know why the slots look the way they do. You'll understand the physics of the heat they're trying to manage, and you'll know exactly what's at stake if it's done wrong.
And, you know, knowing what's at stake, especially regarding heat, density, and physical space, leaves us with a really interesting engineering trend to monitor.
Oh, what's that?
Well, As industrial components get smaller and run hotter, and as wireless encrypted control signals become exponentially more reliable in heavy factory settings, could we eventually see a future where control panels eliminate ducting for signal wires entirely?
Oh, wow.
Right. What happens if we leave these plastic channels solely for routing the massive raw power cables and all the logic is just beamed wirelessly point to point inside the box? It's a fundamental shift in how we might view the nervous system of these machines in the decades to come.
An entirely wireless control panel. That would change the city planning of the cabinet completely.
Totally.
You wouldn't need the surface streets at all, just the major highways. That is something absolutely fascinating to mull over as we wrap up today's deep dive. We'll leave you with that thought. Keep looking for the hidden logic in the systems around you.